Cock. Jesus actually, before he started his ministry, he went to actually his hometown, where he was based, into his church, and then he starts to read, and he picks up the scroll, and he didn't just sort of go off with a whole lot of words that he came out with. He actually went back to the scripture, and he found these verses in Isaiah, and he says, "Then the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and that the blind will see. The oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come.'" And he rolled up the scroll and he handed it back to the attendant and he sat down. And did you know that from this day, from that day to now, that we live under the time of the Lord's favor? It's not like that the Lord's favor suddenly disappeared. It is here, it is now, it is in this time. And there's just a couple of people here this morning, and I just believe that God wants you to step into that time of the Lord's favor. You live under it, we function under it, but sometimes we've actually got to choose to actually step in to the time of God's favor. And sorry, Mark, I'm just going to point you out this morning, but I just really have a feeling that God is saying to you that the time of his favor is here. And what he's saying is that there's a time of favor for your life. And his encouragement to you this morning is not to try and be anything, or you're not that sort of guy, you know. You're happy with being yourself. But what God is saying is that he just wants you to step in and start to walk in his favor. Because I believe that God really wants to bless you. God really wants to pour out some things on you. He wants you to lead you into a new season. He wants to unlock some things in your life. Like what you see now is not all there is. There is much, much more. There are opportunities that you haven't even thought of. There is just so much ahead of you. And what God is saying is, if you'll trust me, if you'll just go with me and actually step into the time of his favor, that he wants to pour his spirit out on you, and he wants to do a new thing in your life. So why don't we reach out our hands? I want to pray for Mark. And if anyone's around him, just lay hands on Mark. Lord, we thank you that you love this guy. We thank you that you haven't forgotten about him. We thank you for the journey that he's walked, that all the things that have gone on in his life haven't been for nothing, that you're doing a new thing. And I just pray right now that you would give him confidence, that you would give him a sense of no fear, a sense of the fact that you're going to be with him. And as he steps into this new season and this time of your favor. And we just pray that you would just pour out your spirit on him, that you would bless his life in an abundant way. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Danny and Leslie, I just think that verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And I know we can take this very generically, like the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And what I'm about to say to these guys now, I could say to everybody in this place that's chosen to step into the kingdom of God. But I just think there's something about the timing, and there's something about his spirit, and there is definitely something about good news to the poor, good news to the needy, good news, and I'm not necessarily talking about those that are physically poor, but there are people that are spiritually poor. There are people that so need to be connected with God. There are people that actually are going to find God as you guys just step out and realize that anointing is on you. That anointing is on you to bring good news. That anointing is on you to be yourselves. That anointing is on you to actually step into new places. And I think that there's a season, there's a journey you've walked, and you know there's things I know, but prophetically, I just believe that this, you know, right now is the start of a new season. Is a season of blessing. Is there a season of anointing? Is a season of actually doing it easy? You're not talking about getting away from hard work, but you know what I mean. That sense of being in the flow of the Spirit of God. Let's reach out our hands as we pray for Danny and Leslie. Lord, I just thank you so much for these guys. I thank you. I thank you for all that they are. I thank you for the journey that you've had them on. And I thank you that that you're actually calling them into a new season. You're calling them into new things. And I just pray that you would anoint them mightily right now, that the Spirit of the Lord would be on them to bring good news to the poor, that as they pray for people, as they share your love with people, that people will be free, that captives, people that are held captive for years, will actually find themselves free because they find the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that there'd be a boldness on them, that there will be no fear, that they would go to where you're calling them to go, that they would connect with the people that you're asking them to connect with. And Lord, I thank you that you're the one that's going to empower them. You're the one that's going to strengthen them. You're the one that is going to give them all that they need. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Sorry to do this to you, Duncan, but I just want to pray for you this morning, mate, that the same thing, that the Spirit of the Lord is on you. And there's something that God wants to put on you about a freshness in being able to reach people, able to share with people in a real down-to-earth way. You don't have to try and be anything else. You don't have to try and suddenly be like a churchy or anything else. All you've got to do is start to open your mouth when opportunities arise, and start to, the word they use in the Bible, when, you know, it's testify. And it's just actually talking about the goodness of God, talking about what God has done in your life. And I just believe that there are going to be opportunities that are going to open up, and you're going to find yourself talking to people, and you're going to look back and think, wow, was that me? Did I say that? And you don't have to strive, you don't have to try, you don't have to be looking for anything. But I just believe that that's the season. And when Jesus did that, it was something that was a now time. He was saying it's not going to happen, you know, in the future. Because when Jesus came, they'd been prophesying for years that a Messiah was going to come. They'd been saying that this Savior is going to come. And suddenly when he stood there and he opened up the Scriptures, he said, now is the time. It's actually here now. And for you, you know, there's a time that's actually arrived right now where God is actually going to do a new thing in you, and he's actually going to use you. And you might think, well, I've got a long way to go. But yeah, we all have. But God wants to use you where you are now. So let's pray for Duncan. Lord, I thank you for Duncan's life. I thank you for what you've done in him. And I just pray these Scriptures over him right now, that now is the time, that he would step into the time of your favour. And we thank you that you are pouring your Spirit out on him. And that as he does, as he accepts that he will find himself being a connector of people, being somebody that draws people into the kingdom, somebody who just very naturally is able to testify about what you've done in him and what you are doing in him. We thank you for the journey that he's on. We thank you for what you're going to do in his world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, 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 amen. And what's your name?
Weta.
And I just want to say that this morning, I just believe that God wants you to know just how much he loves you. And you're not here this morning by accident. There's no accident about this. That God's saying that he's been watching you. He's known you since before you were born. And you know, there are things that have actually been happening in your life. There's things that have been coming together. And he's got you in this place right now. And I just believe that if you open yourself to him, as you trust him, that he's saying there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to worry about, that if you would just step into him, and he just wants to meet with you right now. And he wants you just to experience the fact that there's a Father in heaven that loves you, the Father in heaven that thinks you're absolutely wonderful. And he's going to be with you all the days of your life. Let's pray for Weta. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing young lady. We thank you that you're doing a new thing in her life right now. We thank you that your love for her is just boundless. It's got no end. That she doesn't have to try to be anything. She doesn't have to strive. She just has to accept your love. We thank you that you died for her. We thank you that when you were on the cross, that she was one of the ones that you were dying for, that you were standing in her place. And we just pray now that love that you feel for her, that she would experience that she would know that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's have a seat. Just had a little bit of wardrobe advice there. I've been really enjoying our series on God connections, on building God connections in our world. And here at Energizer Church, we're doing all that we can to build a church, to grow a church that is real, welcoming, and life-changing. And I know you can pick up our material and you know, it can almost sound like something that comes off as rote. But what we are doing with all our heart as a leadership, as you people are part of this church, is that we want to see a church. We want to see not just just a church here, but a church right across this city. Churches, which is the Church of Jesus Christ, right across the state of Tasmania, right across the globe, where people are real. Where people are, it's not about people, you know, being copies of each other. It's not about people being cardboard cutouts. It's about people being absolutely real. It's about people not being fake. It's about people being who they were called to be, and welcoming. In other words, that church is, do you know, church isn't actually for what happens in here. Church is actually for the people that need the love of Jesus. Church is actually more for the people that have not yet met Jesus Christ than it is for us who sit in here. Because you know what? We've experienced that. We've stepped into this amazing realm. We are saved. We're set free. We've got a hope. We've got a future. We've got an amazing thing. And we could be in this place and we could celebrate that till the cows come home. And that would be a wonderful, wonderful place to live. But Jesus said, that's not where I want you to stay. You see, church is actually for everybody in our city. Church is for people that are waking up this morning that are so hung over because they celebrated so long and hard that Geelong won the footy yesterday. Church is just as much for people in that situation as it is for those that sit here this morning on the seat. You know, church is not just a building. Church is not structure. Church is people. Church is people who are real. Church is people who have a welcoming spirit. Church is supposed to be life-changing. Church is supposed to, you're not supposed to come to this place and just go away the same. You're meant to have a life-changing experience. Why do you have that? Because you met with God. Because you actually came out from where you are and you came right into the presence of God. You got with some people that were like-minded. You got with some people that were full of faith. You got with some people that were full of expectation, and you came right into the presence of God. And when you come into the presence of God, you're not supposed to go away unchanged. Because there's something about the presence of God that will change you. There's something about the presence of God that means that you can't stay in that place exactly the same. You see, we're talking about people that carry something, that have changed lives, that the way they live has been changed. Something has changed not only in their own lives, but something that is infectious. Something that other people catch, something that brings change, something that brings freedom, something that gives life, something that brings hope, something that gives faith. And I'm not talking about some infectious, nasty lurgy. I'm talking about a revelation. I'm talking about an understanding of what God has done in you and what God wants to do in you. He has a purpose for you. He has a hope for you. He has a future for you. And you know what? You were born. We heard it on that little promo clip. But you were born for such a time as this. You know, God wanted you on planet Earth right here, right now, to make a difference right now. If He had have wanted you to be around 2,000 years ago, if He had wanted you in Jerusalem to witness the crucifixion, well, He would have put you there right then. But God has chosen you to be here on planet Earth right here, right now, for such a time as this. He has chosen you to be here at the most exciting time that we've ever been alive. He has chosen you to be part of when the gospel can actually go out across this globe like never before. He has chosen you to be here for this time. He has chosen you to be here. You know, when we finish this service this morning, we go straight to the airport and we get on a plane and we fly to Ethiopia. Within a day and a half, we'll be in Ethiopia and we'll be there. meeting with other Christians, we'll be there ministering to other people, we'll be there preaching the gospel in another place. You know why? We're alive at such an exciting time. No time before were we able to travel like that. No time before were we able to actually get on a computer and actually meet with somebody anywhere across the face of the globe and get the message out. You know, you can talk about all the rubbish on the internet, you can talk about all the people that get lost in cyberspace and all the stuff that goes on. And yes, it's a challenge, but also we're alive at the most exciting time. We're alive when you know, broadband is getting so fast that we're going to be able to speak to people in real time anywhere across the globe. And that is a good thing, because the message can get out and it can go fast and it can go quick and it get right to where people need it to be. Let's not forget that you were here for such a time as this. God wanted you on planet Earth right here, right now, at this time, because you know, because you have got something to give. You've got something to offer. You've got something that you can do at this special time. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to do in you. I'm excited about what God is going to do in people here across this place this morning. I'm excited about what God's going to do in Fiona. I'm excited about what God's going to do in Jemima. I'm excited about what God's doing in Josh. I'm excited about what God's doing in Nat. I'm excited about what God's doing in Omar. I'm excited about what God is going to do in people right across this place, because He's called you for this time to be here, right now, for this time. You're not an accident. You're here to live a life that makes a difference. You are here to connect God and people. Did you know when you come into the kingdom of God? You know, most weeks in church, someone actually makes a decision to come into the kingdom of God. They actually meet with God. Did you know if God didn't need you to connect with people, that He might as well take you straight to heaven right then? It'd be like you get an experience of what God's done for you. You get an experience of His love. You get an understanding that Jesus died for you. Right then, it'd be like He might as well zap you and say, yep, come home to heaven. But you know what? You know what Jesus Himself did? When He was praying before He went back to heaven, He was looking at His disciples. He was looking at these guys that He spent His life with, and He said, Father, please don't take them out. In other words, I know, Father, that You love them so much. I know that You want them to be right in Your presence. I know that You would prefer them to be, you know, spiritually in Your presence in heaven right now. I know that's what You want, but please, please don't take them out. Leave them here on this earth so that they can take a message of hope and restoration that changes people. Don't take them out. And I bet Jesus is in heaven here this morning and He's praying exactly the same thing. He's praying for Energize a Life Church at Belle Reve and Derwent Valley, and He's praying for churches across this city. He's praying for people across this globe, and He's saying, Father, don't take them out. Leave them a bit longer. There are more people that need to be reached. There are more people that need to be connected with God. Please don't take them out. I have chosen these people for a special time as this, and I want them here and I need them here, and I need them to be active, and I need them to do what I've called them to do. Please don't take them out. And I bet He's praying every name. You know, please don't take Jeff out. Leave Jeff there, because Jeff has got a special mission. I've called him to make a difference, and I need him here for such a time as this. That is what I bet Jesus is praying as He sits next to His Father this morning, because He has called you for such a time as this. You're not an accident. You're here to make a difference. You are here to be a connector. You are here to be a connector. That is, to help people connect to God so that they can find freedom, hope, and purpose. A couple of weeks ago, I shared about how I used to often get called out to broken down trucks in the middle of the night. And $500,000 worth of machinery or equipment was sitting somewhere on the side of the road, and inevitably it wouldn't go because a wire had broken or a connector had failed. So when the driver turned the key, the power couldn't go from where it needed to go to perhaps start that big truck. And it was like $500,000 worth of stuff was stuck and it was going nowhere because a 20-cent connector had failed. And you know what? I believe there are people right across our city. There are people right across our state. There are people in your world. There are people in your family. There are people in your sphere of influence. and they've got immense value. God has placed so much inside them. There is so much potential there. There is so much that He's called them to do, and all it actually takes is a connection. All it takes is for you to connect with them and them to connect with God, and their life can change. Though they at the moment might feel like they're stalled, they might feel like they're stuck, they might feel like they're not going anywhere, but all it takes is a connection. All it actually takes is you to do something really simple. All it takes you sometimes is to get up from the table at the cafe and walk over, shake somebody's hand and ask their name. And if that's a God moment, if that's a God connection, you will be so surprised at what will open up. When we actually get up and we walk out from where we are and we say, I am going to be a connector. I'm not talking about getting all religious and all weird and turning up with your big King James Bible and a whole pile of tracts and stuff like that. I'm actually just talking about walking across the room, walking across the cafe, walking across the city and saying, g'day. I'm Grant, I'm Josh, I'm Danny, I'm Mel. How are you? And you'll be surprised what will happen when we actually become connectors. Because God wants us to live as connectors. Jesus wants us to live as connectors. Let's open our Bibles and let's have a look at some verses on living as a connector. And sometimes You can hear us talk about that, and I can get passionate about it, and we can be inspired. But that come Monday morning, when suddenly everything about life starts to close in, suddenly when the pressure of the week goes on, suddenly when all the things you've got to do come on, it doesn't seem quite as easy to live as a connector. You know, it can seem quite easy when we think about it now, because it is, but suddenly all this stuff comes in, and suddenly it seems a lot harder. Suddenly it seems like, oh yeah, I could be a connector, but I've just got all these things going on in my world. I've got no space left in my head. I've got no space left in my brain. And I've just got to get on with what I'm called to do. And suddenly it all starts to change. So let's have a look at Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Pretty apt scripture for this weekend, biggest weekend of sport in Australia. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set out before us. So to live as a connector, number one, I want to say this, draw encouragement from the crowd. Number one, to live as a connector, draw encouragement from the crowd. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to life and faith, you know what? You're not alone. When you get that conviction to walk across the room, to walk across the cafe, to pick up the phone, to ring somebody up, just to open yourself up a little bit, I want to say you're not alone. You are surrounded. There is a great crowd that are cheering your name. They're calling you on. They're saying, yeah, go, go, go. They're calling you to live a life of faith. People that have been through the same things that you've been through. People that have walked the same road that you've walked. People that have been to that place. And when you feel like pulling back, when it feels like I haven't got any energy for other people, there is connection through the crowd. When you go to a grand final, when you stand in the crowd, there is an amazing thing at those sporting events. Who's actually been to a grand final at the MCG? Or who's been to the cricket at a big ground like the MCG? I remember years ago being at a cricket game. It was Australia playing somebody. It was back in the days when Australia always won. And you know, the crowd are getting excited. And you know, it gets to that point in the game where the Mexican wave starts to happen. And the Mexican wave would go right round the MCG. And then there was this section it would stop. It was the members' stand. So it would whiz round. It would go all the way round. It would get to the members' stand and it would stop. And then it'd sort of pick up again on the other side of the members' stand. It would go around. You know, and everybody's cheering and carrying on. And there was this sense of camaraderie in that. It was all of us against the members. You know, it was like we were all having fun. You know, we were all in the Mexican wave. And there was this energy that was building in the crowd. And there was this camaraderie that was going on. And you know, the members were still just sitting there. They refused to engage. Now, I know there are reasons to do that. They got a tie on and they can't stand up and all these things that actually happen. and it's just not cricket to do that. But there was this energy that actually happens in the crowd. There's an energy when a crowd starts to cheer. There is something that happens when it goes on. And you know why? In Hebrews, it's saying there is a great crowd of witnesses that are cheering your name, that are calling you on, that are saying, yeah, Dennis, you can do it. Come on, let's go. And it's amazing. If you've ever been in a sporting event, where when you start to come into maybe a marathon or somebody that's run a long race, when you actually come towards the end and you get to that place where everybody's gathered, and there is an energy that goes when people start to cheer and you start to come out of yourself, you start to go beyond yourself and you start to go to another level, you start to go beyond where you could go. And what the writer of the Hebrews is saying, he's saying there is this great crowd of witnesses and they're cheering you on and they're calling your name and they've been where you've been before and you can do more than you think you can do. You can make more of a difference than you think because you're not doing it alone. There is an energy that actually comes through the crowd. And this is not just the stupid energy that you might get at some sporting events, you know, where everybody stands up and starts throwing beer and all that sort of stuff. There is something much, much more powerful than this. There is actually a spiritual energy going on here. And you can look at this in a number of ways. In a practical sense, you can notice that there are people that have been there before. There are people that have walked the journey before you. From a psychological point of view, from a practical point of view, we can open the Word and we can read the testimony of people that have been through amazing things. From a psychological point of view, it's helpful to know that somebody else has been through all the things that you're going through. From a spiritual point of view, did you know that you've got all the power and the force of heaven cheering you on? You know, you couldn't have a better cheer squad. You couldn't have anything more powerful. I mean, some of you were excited when you went and swam the 100 metres in grade 6 and your mum and your auntie came to cheer you on. But this is all of heaven actually cheering you on. This is all of heaven saying, go Grant, you can do this. Go Grant, we can actually reach out into the Derwent Valley and we can grow a church up there like they've never seen before in that place. All of heaven is actually cheering us on. You see, when you come into the kingdom, you become part of a club that is much more powerful than even the Geelong Football Club. Sorry, Dennis, but it is. As great as a day that they had yesterday, as wonderful as it is, you see, when we come into the kingdom of God, we actually join the faith club. Listen to what the Bible says about the faith club. How much more do I need to say? It will take me too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms and ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and they put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some of them were jeered and their backs were cut open with whips and were chained in prison. Some died by stoning and were sawn in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats and were destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering the deserts and mountains and hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us. They would not have reached perfection without us. Isn't that incredible that you join the faith club? You join the same club of the people that shut the mouths of lions. You join the same club of the people that walked around in the wilderness. You join the same club of the Christians in the first century that were martyred, that were fed to the lions. You join the faith club of those who ruled with justice. You join the faith club of those that put whole armies to flight. You join that same club and you actually stand on the shoulders of those people because you are part of the same club. You are part of the same family. You are part of the same side. You are part of something that is incredibly amazing. You are part of an incredible future. You are part of an incredible past even. You are part of something that is absolutely incredible. And that crowd, they're cheering you on, calling your name this morning. They're calling you on. They're calling you out of your situation. They're calling for more. They're calling for you to go further than you think you can go. They're calling for you to walk through things that you never even thought you could do. They are calling your name and they're cheering you on. And I don't know exactly how it looks in the spirit. Some people would say that those people are watching us and cheering our name, and other people would look at it and say, well, that's not actually possible the way things are structured. I don't know. But what I do know is that all the forces of heaven are right there, and they're here this morning, and there is an incredible spiritual force that is calling your name, that is cheering you on, and it's available to anybody here that wants to choose to step into that. If we want to be connectors, if we want to live our lives as connectors, we've actually got to step into that, and we've got to be those people. Come on, you can do it. Verse 1 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Number 2, to live life as a connector, unload some weight. Unload some weight. Did you know you can become lighter and you can become stronger? Sometimes we're so heavy, we're weighed down with all this stuff, we're actually incapable of being a connector. We're incapable of reaching out to anybody else. We become rigid. We become inflexible. And it's like, yeah, I'd love to have them around for dinner, but I'm so tired and I've got all this stuff going on in my head and all this stuff going on in my world, and there's just not room for anybody else. As I've got more and more into cycling, I've come to understand how important weight is. And cyclists get really, really excited about weight. If you talk to somebody that's into road cycling, the first thing that they will tell you is how light their bike is. They'll tell you how much it doesn't weigh. And they'll tell you what they've put on it to make it lighter. And my bike weighs just approximately 7.8 kilograms. And it's not that I think about these things. Yeah. But I could make that lighter. I could make that lighter by putting sort of fancier, more expensive wheels on it and various things. And, you know, I could probably get it down to 6.5 kilos or something like that by spending quite a bit more money on it by probably another $1,000, and I could get it down to that sort of weight. But there's something that's obviously glaring me in the face. That is that it's probably easier to take the weight off the rider. You see, I can spend another $1,000 on the bike, and perhaps I can take half a kilo off. But if I keep doing what I'm doing, if I keep riding the bike, if I keep watching my diet, if I keep committing to the journey, if I continue to do that, I reckon I can take another 5 kilos off the rider. And that would make an incredible difference. I've been riding with a great connection story. I've been riding with the guy that lives across the road from me. And he's about 10 years younger than me. And he's a lot lighter. And we're actually quite a good match. We've been riding along, and we've worked out that I'm pushing him quite a lot on the flats, and he's pushing me a little bit up the hills. And I started to think about it. I thought, well, why is he going up the hills quicker than me? Because if I'm going faster on the flats, it probably means I'm reasonably strong and I can push the bike on the flats. But it's actually the weight on the hills. The fact that he's lighter on the hills means that he can go up the hills quicker than me. You know, when the journey that we're called to go, what Jesus is saying here this morning is that you want to follow him, you can actually become stronger and you can become lighter. You can choose to actually get rid of some weight. You can choose to get rid of some stuff. And the Bible says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. You know, to be a great connector, we need to look at ourselves so that we can become lighter and we can become stronger. And the more that you run the race with God, the stronger and lighter you will become. Listen, what the New American Standard Version says this. It says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance of sin which so easily entangles us. I want to say something here, that God isn't actually a fun policeman. Sometimes we can think of that. If you had those fun police in your life, you know, every time you start to have a bit of fun, you know, I can remember this at school. Every time we started to have a bit of fun, you know, someone would come along, oh, you can't do that, stop that. Yep, yep, yep. And okay, you settle down, away you go again, you find another fun thing to do. Oh, stop, 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 stop. And sometimes we can actually think that God's a bit like that. You know, like God's a fun police, you know. Well, as soon as we start to have a bit of fun, as soon as we start to enjoy ourselves, that God's up there and he's looking down. Whoop, stop, 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 that's enough fun. Too much fun for one day. Just take it easy. And we start to think of God like that. I want to say that God is not the fun police. God actually is happy for you to have as much fun as you can. He's happy for you to enjoy yourself. But you see, he's not like a fun police. He's more like a coach that's cheering you on. He's more like someone saying, hey, come on, you can become lighter. You can become stronger. You can become less inhibited. You can live without restriction. You're able to go boldly to where I'm calling you to go. You see, the reason that this verse talks about sin is not to say, well, you've got to stop having fun. It's about that sin will slow you up. It will make you heavy. And it's like trying to ride a bike with the brake dragging. It's like trying to drive a car with the handbrake on. Who's driven a car for an extended distance with the handbrake on? You know, you can do it. You can do it for a while. But if your handbrake's good enough and your car's powerful enough, well, eventually what happens is the brakes will get very, very hot. And, you know, for a while you're driving around and you're having to use more petrol and it's a lot heavier, it's harder work to do it. Well, you can do it, but nobody notices. Everybody just waves to you, oh, yep, there goes Omar with the handbrake on. No, they don't even know that. They just like, there he goes, and they don't even notice that the handbrake's on. But if you continue to do that, eventually the brakes will get hot and eventually smoke will actually start to come out from under your car. And if you keep on doing it, something might even catch on fire, and people have done that before. And you see, life can be a little like that. There can be stuff that's going on in your life at the moment. You know, it might be unforgiveness. It might be a moral thing. It might be a relationship thing. It might be an attitude. I don't know what it is. We've all got these things that happen in our world, and we can live with them. We can tolerate them. We can let them go. And people don't particularly notice a lot of the time. It's like, oh, yep, there goes Dan. Yeah, cool, yep. But eventually, if we don't deal with those things, eventually it's like they catch fire. Eventually it's like the smoke starts to come out. Eventually it's like people do start to notice, because what starts as a little thing becomes so big that it's so blatantly obvious that it affects our whole life. And when we're called to be connectors, what Jesus is saying is, I want you to follow me, and I want you to be able to run. I want you to be light. I want you to be able to be strong. And I don't want you to have all this sin that is actually holding you down. It's not like I don't want you to have fun. Like you need to stop smoking because you enjoy it. He's not like that at all. What he's saying is this: perhaps there are things in your life that are actually slowing you down. Perhaps the fact that you're really struggling to forgive some people at the moment is like a weight. That it's like something that drags you down. It's like something that every time you go to get up and you start to get going, you start to reach out to somebody, you just feel so encumbered. You feel like you just can't do it. And that, you know, that is the whole reason that God actually talks about sin all the way through the Bible. The first time when Adam and Eve sinned, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, what was the first thing that happened? They lost their lightness. I mean, they were walking around in the garden butt naked. They were having a wonderful time. I mean, how much more fun could you have? You know, that was just absolutely fantastic. And all of a sudden, they have to get weight on them. All of a sudden, they have to put clothes on. All of a sudden, you know, they're hiding under a branch. And you know, sin came and it actually brought weight into their lives and it slowed them down. You see, if we would deal with sin, we find ourselves becoming lighter and stronger. We find ourselves being able to walk faster and higher. And you know, when we deal with the sin, we become lighter and we become stronger and we become great connectors of people. So we're allowed, we can go where God calls us to go. The band want to join me, please. To live as a connector, number three, this is our last one this morning. Lock your eyes on Jesus. Lock your eyes on Jesus. Says here in Hebrews, and let us run the race with endurance that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarded the shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. So to live as a connector, we've got to lock our eyes on Jesus. And the particular Greek word that they used here when it talked about fixing your eyes on Jesus is a word called apharo. And basically what it meant was to gaze with admiration. What it meant was to sort of look in such a way that everything else becomes almost insignificant. You know, guys, when you first see that girl, when you're just so besotted with her that you just can't look at anything else, and you know your gaze is fixed. And it doesn't matter where in the room that she goes, that you know you're there, and all the blokes are saying, "Hey, man, you got to get a grip." You know, everyone's watching, but you're just so besotted with it, you don't care. You know, you're just watching her wherever she goes, and it's basically what that verse here, that word means, and it's not actually used anywhere else in the New Testament. It's actually only used there when it's talking about fixing or locking our gaze on Jesus, when we put it on there in such a way. And the American Standard Version says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It translates it beautifully. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's sort of more than just having a casual look. It's that strength of putting them there. It's like, you know, you've all watched the movies of fighter jets and things like that. And when they're in a dogfight, and when the fighter is able to get directly in behind the other and they're able to get that missile lock on, bang, and it's there, and it doesn't matter where the guy goes, that it still follows and that missile is going to go. You know, we've actually got to get that sort of intensity in the way that we put our eyes on Jesus. It's almost got to be a lock. That no matter what happens, no matter what distractions come, no matter what things go our way, that we're going to continue to look at him. We're going to continue to fix our eyes on him. You know, there's something incredibly refreshing about that. You know, we can run the race and we can look at Jesus. We can have our eyes locked on him. You see, he's our focus, he's our inspiration, he's our example. My grandfather told us boys when we first started to drive, and he'd had a bit of driving experience. He'd been a bus driver for about 50 years, and he was quite a good driver. And he said to us as 16-year-olds that were getting their license and very excited about driving, and we thought we could take on the world and all these things. And he said to us, he said, "If you've got to watch what you look at. You've got to watch where your gaze is." He said, "Did you know? He said, did you know that you could drive up the road and you could drive through two posts almost only a little bit narrower than the car as long as you look straight down the center?" He says, "If you look at the post, if you look at the side, if you look at the obstacle, you're going to hit it every time. But," he said, "what you got to do is you've got to look at the space. You've got to look at the gap. You've got to look at where you're going." You see, life is like that with Jesus. If we start to focus our eyes on the obstacles, if we start to focus on all the things that are in the way, you're going to hit them every single time. But sometimes there'll be rubbish that's going on in your life. Yes, it needs dealing with. Yes, you need to take some time with this person, that person. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we start to look at him, those other things start to take perspective. Those other things start to fall into place. Those other things start to work. And being connectors, be encouraged. It says in Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, "I'm certain that God who began a good work in you will continue this work until it's finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns." Connectors are encouragers. As you look at Jesus, as you fix your gaze on him, as you keep your focus on Jesus, as you get perspective, you will bring others with you. You will find other people walking the same journey as you. Because, you know, people are actually looking for somebody that knows where they're going. People are actually looking for somebody that can see a clear path. People are actually looking for somebody that's actually got their eyes fixed on something, that knows where they're going. People that say, "Oh yeah, it's cool, whatever will be, yeah, cool, whatever," they're a dime a dozen. But people that actually have their eyes fixed on something, people that know where they're going, people that know what their calling is, people that are actually going somewhere, they're more precious than rubies. They're amazing people. Let's stand. Let me pray. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to connect with Jesus if you've never done that before. Before we do that, I just want to pray for you all in this place this morning. When the service is finished, if you want prayer for anything at all, maybe there's some stuff you know that's dragging you down, some stuff that you feel like is tangled up around you and you just want to get rid of it. We'd love to pray for you after the service. But right now, I just want to pray for you all. Lord, I thank you for an amazing group of people here this morning. I thank you that you've called them for such a time as this. I thank you that you've chosen them to be here on planet Earth at the moment. You've chosen them to be here this morning. You've chosen them to be in this place. And I thank you that you've got an amazing path ahead for people across this place. I thank you that you're making people connect us. That you're calling us to be people who are so connected to you, people that are able to see you so clearly, people that are not distracted by the things that go on, that we continue to look at you, and that we continue to be able to draw other people into that relationship where they can also experience the freedom, the faith, the hope, and the security that will change their life. Lord, I just pray as we go out this week that we would just know that the time is now. That we would go out and we would know that it's the time of the Lord's favor and that you shine your light upon us and you enable us and you are the one that makes it possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's sing. Thanks, Katie. Consider to be the most important question I could ask this morning. And that's, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? It's one thing to, when I'm talking about looking at somebody and fixing your gaze on him, I'm talking about actually knowing him. I'm talking about understanding that he actually loves you and he wants to have relationship with you. And if you've never been able to come to the place where you've been able to totally open yourself up and say, Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that if I was the only person in the world, that you would have still hung on that cross. You would have still paid the price so that I...